Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yes. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's uniforms look a little different this fall. OSU announced a jersey patch sponsorship with Chase Bank that'll have their logo on jerseys for all 36 varsity sports. That includes a white Chase logo above the white Big Ten logo on Ohio State's home scarlet uniforms. The agreement's reportedly worth $17 million a year. Ohio State's Ryan Day, Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Jalen McClain head to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days today through Thursday. The Buckeye contingent will speak tomorrow, with Coach Day taking the podium Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Big Ten boss Tony Petitti will kick things off this morning at 11:45. In baseball last night, Reds and Guardians were rained out in Cincinnati. They'll make it up as part of a doubleheader with Game 1 at 1:40, Game 2's at 7:40. This update is sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Peach ice cream right now. Get 2 large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tiberi here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's hear live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3:10 o'clock. We hit you with the real truth. Uncle Dom stops by at 10:30. 20 most interesting programs. The Bayou Bengals of LSU, which might be the most salacious team in the entire sport this year by the time all is said and done. But we begin with Big Ten Media Days, which starts today. And a big spot for the Big Ten in a very, very big way. You're going to sense a theme here It's all pretty big. This conference had big ideas. This conference had a big network that shook up and changed kind of the trajectory of the sport in what was truly a genius idea at the time. We're going to own a network. We're going to own half of it. We're going to split it with Fox. They're going to handle the production. And we are going to put it in a lot of homes throughout the country. And because of that, we are going to get very, very rich. The reason we're going to get very, very rich is because our big brands are going to be really good. And Ohio State is going to be chief among them. When it came time to expand, they were a little bit behind the curve. They expanded the first time in large part entirely because of cable buy, or the thought of cable buy in the New York markets and the D.C. markets. They expanded the second time out of desperation because the SEC added two teams that, quite frankly, would have fit in very nice in this conference in Texas and Oklahoma. In the process, their footprint got very, very big across the country, at times too big. A conference that doesn't make much sense in football, let alone everything else geographically. And yet, as we look over the next 5 years or so, it will be a conference that is going to shape what this sport is going to look like. The man that is currently leading the conference is Tony Petitti. He will speak today at 11:45. How candid will he be? How honest will he be? Will he be as much of a showman as Greg Sankey? No, he will not. Will he push an agenda the way Sankey did? No, he will not. What is the minimum requirement from him? We will get to all of that coming up at 9:30. But speaking of the subject of big, and I suppose this is all appropriate because, as the handsome update anchor just told you there, we've got a new jersey sponsor here at Ohio State, and it's Chase Manhattan Bank. I think it's just Chase. The reason I say Chase Manhattan Bank is because when you think of the sponsors that could have gone on the Buckeye jersey, when I heard it was Chase, I said, okay, that's pretty good. Pretty good reputation. Logo. Yeah, logo looks pretty good. It's not blue. It's white. Looks pretty good. This was an inevitability. We've been talking about this for years. Athletic departments are having to find money. As soon as you hear us talking about finding money, you say, okay, well, there's going to be a sponsor on the stadium. There's going to be a sponsor on the field. There's going to be a sponsor on the jersey. And guys, we've done this topic. What would you want on the jersey? And we talked about all the things we wouldn't want. You didn't want blue on the jersey. That was something that, you know, you think about Nationwide. That was going to always be a little bit problematic. I never considered Chase, but when you think about something that is kind of universally looked upon as excellent and good and being around for 150 years, okay. Makes a little bit of sense. And the logo looks fine. This doesn't bother me at all. It may bother some people. This is the world and the play box that we're going to play in. This is what this is about right now. I think the thing looks good. I'm for it. I think that you could have done about a billion times worse than Chase. In fact, if I were to give you guys a list of 25 entities, and if Chase were among them, my hunch is you both would have approved Chase absolutely as I would have.
Yeah, if you had taken 10, I'm sure there were at least five companies in the running, or at least that put forth bids. I'd love to see what the mock-ups of some of the ones that didn't see the light of day would look like. Because again, Huntington Bank is such a big sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. I wonder how those conversations went. I wonder how they're still going, because I can't imagine that they're thrilled with this, but Chase is going to give Ohio State $17 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the price for this. Yeah. And I would have loved to see some of the mock-ups, but I do think the Chase one looks fine. I mean, we had the leaks were last week, and we were goofing, you know, with Ohio State, and that if you don't want people to see something, don't issue it or don't have a photo shoot. I mean, obviously, you have to do the social media-ness of it, but it's fine, and there's probably going to be more where that came from.
Sure.
I think the one thing where if you would have said it was Chase initially, you would have thought, well, wait a second, JP Morgan Chase Bank is blue.
Right.
And that would have been something that would have been an issue. But as Reese was talking about, when we got the leaks last week, we heard that Nike was not going to do jersey patches that weren't the color of the jersey colors already. That's something we heard, which is different because we saw the blue Culver's logo on the red Wisconsin jersey.
Yep.
So you see the renderings, you see the white Chase logo. I do wonder, we have not seen in any of the promotion of this a white jersey. So I wonder if it's going to be a red Chase logo on those white jerseys, or if maybe the introduction of the silver / gray back into the football uniform will lead to a silver Chase logo on the jersey. Or I wonder if those conversations are still ongoing, and maybe we won't know till the Texas game week two.
It would have to be on the white jersey. It would have to be a dark enough gray that you could see it. Because the problem is all the Nike markings and the Big Ten markings are all red on the white jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be, my hunch is it would be red. And I know that their color's blue and white, you know, much like Nationwide, but that's a good question. I would think if it was going to be gray, it would have to be a really dark gray in order to be seen. Because otherwise, it's just going to blend. You know what I mean?
Or will they put like a gray or black patch up there and keep the Chase logo white? I don't know. I think the one thing for me, one, I'm disappointed because my Coors Light idea is out the window right now. Because I thought that would have been perfect.
It was a layup, silver bullets.
But like you just mentioned it. The people that might complain about this, one, this isn't going to change your viewing habits of the games at all. No. You're never going to notice it. Also, we don't need a Big Ten patch on the jersey. Get rid of that if we're worried about that. That's not making us any money, so get that the hell out of here.
Well, it was really interesting to see Nike's pushback, and I get it, because I'm sure they're saying, well, hold on, what are we paying for then? Like, we pay for the swoosh. That's why it's there. And I was out last week, obviously, but wasn't there a story? Did you guys see the story last week about how Nike was talking about making the swoosh larger across all of the leagues that they sponsor to combat this?
I didn't see that story, but that wouldn't surprise me at all. If Nike, if Adidas, if Under Armour, they're all just like, all right, we'll just enhance ours.
Yeah, if you're going to tell me that I'm paying you exponentially more and outfitting you in all of the gear for your university, and my patch is the same size as one that's going for, and no disrespect to 17 and a half, like we're paying a lot more and doing a lot more that swoosh going to get a lot bigger, kids. And I don't blame them for that. And I don't know. It goes to something that we've said a lot about this world we've been in college football really for the last 6, 7, 8 years. I don't think anybody, I think guys like Ross Bjork are taking these fights as they come. And I think as soon as they knock out one problem, another problem presents itself. And so you can't think almost because it's happening so quickly and evolving so constantly. You really can't think about what are the consequences of this. I just got to handle this problem. Then I'll get to the next one. I think that's what he's got to be doing right now. I cannot imagine the T's that he's having to cross and the I's he's having to dot on a daily basis to make sure that everything matters and all of the money works. So as jersey patches on a jersey go, this one's fine. It's fine. It looks good. I'm cool with it. It's a great point out of you, Reese, on getting rid of the Big Ten logo if you had to. Just get that sucker off of there. It doesn't need to be there anyway. No point in that. Everybody knows what you're in. You don't get paid for it. Go ahead.
So just be careful with the Big Ten and their logo patch, because you talked about Nike wanting to increase the size of the swoosh. Now Chase Banks on board with all 36 varsity sports. The Big 12's already got a co-branded conference patch on their football logos with Monster Energy. So... yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten said, yeah, we're doing a Discover Big Ten co-sponsored logo patch, jersey patch.
This is going to, you say this like tongue in cheek, but this reality. It's 100% reality. Like, it's not hyperbole. It's where we're going. And you just can't have it looking like a NASCAR.
By the way, Monster paid $20 million for the whole Big 12.
For the league.
Yeah. Ohio State got 17 on its own.
Well, it goes back to the theme at the beginning of the show, Bake. Big. Big, 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 and no stopping anytime soon. So the patch, I'm for it. I get it. Got to make the money that you can. I think you did a nice job. I think the thing looks pretty good. We got Big Ten Media Days starting in Chicago. A lot of the attention is going to be on Tony Petitti, but some new faces will be making their appearance today, and some old stalwarts as well. Some guys with a lot of pressure on them, including our guy Luke Fickle. We will get you set for everything to expect over in Chicago coming up next. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear. Lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Buckeye fans, your first look at your 2026 Ohio State football team is here. Join us August 6th through the 8th at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State football training camp. It's presented by Safelite and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, experience the start of a new season up close. Tickets are limited. They're going fast. Just $48 for general admission. Upgrade to VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of the Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. And of course, we will be broadcasting live out there Thursday and Friday. Go ahead, Vic.
One more thing on the jersey patch real quick that nobody's really talking about that I think might be the most important thing for Ohio State athletes. Chase is going to dedicate resources to helping these athletes with financial literacy. And that's probably more important than any time for college athletes, as they're getting money like this and have access to money. So I think that's an awesome thing and part of this partnership that Chase is doing.
That's also a very Ohio State thing. It's a very Ohio State thing to do. And this is something that the leadership up there, even as it has changed throughout the years, has done consistently. And I think sometimes maybe even to a fault. They still, and we talk about all the time, wanting to be Alabama in football and be Stanford and everything else. Ohio State still aspires to be everything it always aspired to be. They aspire to be the best in 36 sports. They aspire to, in every sport, to take care of their student athletes, to put them in a position to succeed. We can make fun of it sometimes. You're talking about $6 million wide receivers and $6 million quarterbacks and $2 million for recruits and all these other things. But the reality is they still are pretty ideological when it comes to what they want it to be, what they aspire to be. And so I think that in there isn't, that's not by coincidence. It's not by accident that that's in there. That makes sense to what they are. The value on this, there's all sorts of numbers being thrown around. Pete Thamel saying nearly $17 million per year. It's higher than some NBA jersey patch deals. Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it's higher than most. I mean, isn't Ohio State, from a brand standpoint, what NBA teams have a bigger brand and are seen more than Ohio State? Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Warriors. I don't know. Like that, I'm waiting. I don't know who else.
The team LeBron's on in his first season.
Philly, like that, I guess, for this year.
For just that.
Yeah.
It's a very short list. I mean, like the $17 million, it'll be funny in 5 years when we revisit this, because this is only going to go up from, I mean, the price goes up every year. And then I'm wondering with, I think it's three schools in the Big Ten right now have jersey patch sponsorships. I think Michigan State's got one. Wisconsin obviously has one with Culver's, then Ohio State with this Chase Bank one. What other schools then start to value their uniforms as? Because there's only a handful that could even touch 15 for their uniform patch. Maybe Penn State, maybe Michigan, maybe USC. And Michigan's going to sit there and probably try to tell us that it's an awful thing, that how could you mess the sanctity of a football uniform despite having a glorified logo, a glorified jersey patch on theirs with the Jumpman? Because that, you know, you're selling the Jumpman shoes. But when, because they're doing stadium sponsorships in the fall, starting this fall in the Big House, then, you know, theirs is probably something they would be looking, or at least they'd be smart to look for something in the similar range to what Ohio State's getting with Chase.
We know.
They're all going to do it. They're all going to do it. Michigan's going to do it. Penn State's going to do it. USC's going to do it. You want to know the one that's interesting real quick, Bake, before you make your point? What about Oregon? I mean, they're a one entity benefactor.
Two Nike logos.
That's what I was going to say.
Double.
One on each.
Double. Barrel.
Like wings? What do you do? What do you do with Oregon? Go ahead, Bake.
Not in the Big Ten. Notre Dame is going to be an interesting one, too.
Did you see Pete Sampson's tweet on this?
I did not.
He had the number wrong. He said Ohio State was making $15 million, but I have to consider the Irish. I have to think the Irish are considering it. They're, you know, them and does Alabama have one yet? Alabama needs one. I know LSU has one.
LSU has Woodside Energy. Arkansas has Tyson Foods. We did a lot of these last week, all of the teams that have them already.
Yeah, it's inevitable. They'll all have them at some point. This is going to be the benchmark number. Who can approach it? Notre Dame is going to be close to being able to approach it. Michigan, I would think, would be close to approaching it, even Texas, with all of the scandal. Texas would be one. Alabama, if they don't have one yet. That would be a brand that would be able to approach it because of what's happened in the last 20 years in terms of them becoming a national brand. But look, it's found money. This is what you got to do. You got to find it where you can, and they put it here. We were talking in the break, Bake, like, where does it stop? Like, because my guess is there's exclusivity with this Chase patch, Chase patch on the front. Like, could you sell the back of the helmet? Could you sell the back of the jersey, like above the name? You know, can you sell a pant? You know what I mean?
Like, oh, that's a good, I never even thought about the pants.
Yeah. So the way they do it, I mean, I think the NFL hasn't done this yet. I say yet because they will. The best example of this at the apex level would be elite European soccer. And if you think about that, like the jersey patch, it's actually inverted. Like if you look at Real Madrid, I think it's B-Win or something like that. Is the jersey patch on Real Madrid or whatever it may be. So that goes all the way across the front, like almost like a logo. And then the patch is the club. It's actually inverted. They put the big name on as the jersey sponsor, and then the patch is the club. So the exclusivity is going to be interesting, and where does it stop? And the reality is it's not stopping, because you have to continue to find money. I mean, we talk about this all the time, the improvements that are needed at Ohio State, and the shoe, and the facilities, the Woody, all of it. You have to go find some money to pay for all this stuff, let alone the 36 sports.
And I don't think it's ever going to be like soccer, as you mentioned, Bo, where like Crew has Barbasol across the front of their jersey, and then a Crew logo up in the corner, like where the Nike logo would be. But, and I've said this, I have no problem with it. And I think you'll end up seeing some company, it's not going to be $17 million, but you'll see some company with a sticker on the back of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be huge. It's not going to take up Buckeye Leaf room, maybe one, but how many players have had both sides of their helmet filled up with Buckeye leaves in the history? There's some, but it's not that many. So there will be that. I also don't mind if you have a little jersey sponsor right above the name on the back there, like Big 12 is doing Monster Energy on all of their jerseys. You had the little M right there below the neckline on the back. I don't think that bothers me at all, and I think we've got to realize that stuff is coming.
It is. Yeah, it's inevitability of the world that we currently live in, and once you take on money, you're never going to give it back. So they have to continue to find more and more going forward. And so, yeah, I think that there will be – you'll start to see a great many of these that are happening around the country, and I would imagine that Penn State, Michigan, USC, Notre Dame – in our league, who is the second most valuable? Is it still Michigan? It's always been Michigan.
I think
probably, even though it's been ugly, I would assume it's still them. And so then who would be third? Is it USC, Oregon, or Penn State?
I'd say Oregon.
I want to say Oregon too.
I think you're both probably right because of what's happened the last 25 years. And certainly with a younger generation, it's Oregon by a mile. Because USC's been off out of the mix for 20 years.
Is Indiana there right now?
Not yet.
Is Nebraska a school we should be talking about more when it comes to this?
Nebraska is a school that, to me, I'm done trying to figure out recently.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand.
Valid.
I understand why it's hard to recruit there. I am stunned at how poorly they have been in the NIL era. How they've mismanaged it. I am stunned that Nebraska didn't try to do what Texas Tech did. I'm surprised there's not enough people with money in Omaha who invested in Berkshire Hathaway 30 years ago that don't just want to put it on them and say, I got you. Like, I'm just shocked at everything with Nebraska. So, yeah, I mean, I would think Omaha's a financial center, and obviously Berkshire Hathaway is there. I don't see any reason why they would not thrive in this world, but they haven't. So I can't begin to figure them out. I would imagine if you were an entity like Chase and you were obviously Ohio State's number one, then I would say it would be Michigan. Then I think Oregon and USC slot in. I do think you're right. I think it's Oregon first, then USC. And then it gets a little interesting if Indiana has elevated, because Indiana certainly as a brand is well known and very, very, and very popular. And now they've done this in football. They might be right there with Penn State already with 2 years of Cignetti. They might be right there in terms of just national brand. I'll tell you this, you fly across the country and travel like I have this summer, you will see I saw a ton of IU stuff. A ton of it. I saw it out in Montana. I never saw IU stuff in Montana before. But there were folks running around with IU hats and stuff. So, yeah, it's coming. Be very interesting to see where all of this goes. The man in charge of all of this in terms of where the Big Ten will go is Tony Petitti. He is going to talk today at 11:45. Obviously, we won't be able to carry that for you live, but we'll react to it tomorrow. We're going to play a little What We Hope Tony Says coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday edition of the program. Big Ten Media Day is kicking off today in Chicago. They will do so with Tony Petitti, the boss of the league, up first. He'll talk at 11:45. He will do so on the cusp of Greg Sankey and a very, noisy SEC media days last week. These two conferences will certainly shape the future of this sport over the next 5 years. At the current standing, though, it appears that they have very little in common in terms of what they want this thing to look like going forward. So much so that Sankey last week and several of his coaches, including Kirby Smart, and I'm sure you guys touched on this quite a bit, talked about the idea of the SEC breaking off from the NCAA and from everybody else. I've been on the air in this market since 2007. I've been telling y'all that that's how they view this thing for a long, long time, and they would be very fine with it. The SEC would be totally cool. Their constituents would be totally cool. Now, their television partners might not be, but their constituents would be entirely cool with breaking off and doing their own thing and crowning their own national champion of the South. Hell, we have Paul on every single Thursday, and we will this Thursday as well. And he has said it before that this thing all goes back to the Civil War for them. And you can go, well, come on, that's 160 years ago. What are we talking about? No, 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 that's real for them. That is real for them, and they would be totally cool with it. Obviously, the Big Ten is not going to break away. But for Tony Petitti, there is an opportunity here today, and he's been a little louder this year than he has in the previous couple of years, to really set the tone for what is important to this league. And I think the challenge for Petitti is he is trying to govern something that Sankey is not. Tony Petitti is trying to govern something where you have entities like Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, Penn State, Nebraska, these massive, even Indiana, massive big brands and these entities that are as all in as you possibly can be in football, the same way he's trying to govern Purdue and Rutgers and Maryland and these programs at the bottom of this league, Northwestern, these programs at the bottom of this league that, quite frankly, are never going to be able to try to be on an equal playing field. And this is the big difference between the Big Ten and the SEC. The bottom of the SEC believes that they can be. Arkansas believes, and they got the Tyson chicken money and the Walmart money, Arkansas believes they can be Alabama. They believe it. In their heart, they believe it. Look what's happened at Vanderbilt. How they've believed it. Vanderbilt has the number one quarterback in the country. Recruit. They stole him from Georgia. That happened. That's how delusional that conference is. So Sankey's job is much easier than Petitti's is. Sankey's job, everybody is in a similar headspace. Petitti's job is much more complicated, not just geographically, but also just his constituency. So what he says today, oftentimes I've been critical of Big Ten leadership for the fact that they are worried far too much about the bottom 5 to 7 teams on their roster and not nearly enough about the top 5 to 7. Tony Petitti better make sure that his chips are pushed to the side of the table with Ohio State and Michigan and Oregon and USC and Penn State and everybody else who gives a damn in a big, big way about football. To me, that's going to be a fascinating thing today. What is his agenda and how does he see this league in the next 3 to 5 years?
It'll be interesting, the tone, because Greg Sankey and the SEC, they just came off frustrated and angry. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to get any of that from Big Ten media days. I'm also interested, there's a new version of the Protect College Sports Act that's circulating. I wonder how much Tony talks on or about that at all, while the rest of the rest of college football, like the Royal Us, is just like, we don't care. Like, you got a week to get this thing done across the finish line. And what they've spent, they got a 9-hour phone call Petitti had with the sponsors of this bill. And so, you know, I don't think that affects too many people in the conference, really, if you pass this thing. I don't know what that looks like, but I also wonder how much of that, because they're saying only 15 minutes for the commissioner.
15 minutes? He's out at noon?
That's what they're saying.
My God, he could filibuster it.
Well.
And he just may do that.
I think he might, Bake.
Oh, no, 45 minutes. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Bert's up at 12:30.
Yeah, okay. That's a little bit better.
That makes a little more sense. It doesn't really matter what Tony Petitti says. I do hope, though, because he's going to get asked, I'm sure, about the SEC and how chesty they were last week. I hope he's chesty for the Big Ten in a way like, hey, the last three national champions – mm-hmm. are from this conference in the sport we care about the most, the sport that drives everything. The last basketball national champion is from this conference.
Yep.
And look, I hope he brings up this jersey patch sponsor. Like, hey, one of our teams got 17 million, a whole conference got 20. Like, I just hope he's chesty for the Big Ten, and I'm not one who usually cares about that. I don't care Big Ten versus SEC. I don't root for Big Ten teams usually, all of that. But I just hope he gets up there and he's chesty. And I also kind of hope he lets us know, and I'm sure we won't hear, like, where are we at with the college football playoff? Is it going to expand? Is it going to stay at 12? What's going on with all of this?
The Big Ten has never been chesty, and you know that. They haven't been. They should be. They should be. He should be chesty. He should talk about three straight national championships.
He should walk out there and say, here are our demands.
Yes, exactly right. Here's he needs to walk demand. Out like
he
Vince
should be
McMahon.
Wearing the shirt.
Wearing the shirt.
The shirt that nobody else is wearing. He
That's
should
right.
be wearing.
Have a giant CVS receipt and just unroll it and see how far it goes. And go, here are our demands.
Yep. Yeah, no. The Big Ten's never been chesty. They should be. He should wear that shirt. He should walk out there like Vince McMahon in the GIF. He absolutely should do all of those things. He won't. He should talk about how dominant this conference has been on the field. He should talk about how he is the number one brand in the entire sport in Ohio State, how he has the best story and maybe in the history of the sport in Indiana. And he should talk about what Michigan just did in basketball, winning a basketball national championship a couple years after winning a football national championship. He should talk about all of those things. He should talk about the fact that they get more money than anybody else by a wide, wide margin. All of those things should be the attitude. You guys remember a couple of years ago when everybody was making a big deal around this time about Ohio State with a $20 million roster. What did I say? So? And? Next? Who cares? For once, act like who you are. Now, I don't think we're going to get that from Petitti.
No.
We're not going to get that at all. So what I think is most important for him to lay out is what you touched on last, Bake. Tony Petitti needs to coherently and clearly lay out the Big Ten's plan for the college football playoff going forward. Because he's had his lieutenants go out there, including coaches, go out there and talk about a 24-team model. It didn't work. It did not work. So remember they even talked about like a 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5 championship weekend garbage? Tony, get organized, brother. Give me something that Ohio State can get behind. Honestly, you can't have Ryan come out and say a 2014 playoff's good for the sport. It's good for the Buckeyes. It's not. Ohio State doesn't need a 2014 playoff. It's fine at 12. They're going to make it every year. It's fine. He needs to have a very coherent, clear message on what he believes the future of postseason collegiate football is. That's his most important job today, in my opinion. Everything else, the Protect College Sports Act, all that stuff, none of that's going anywhere. We've learned it. I've seen enough. I can tell you, nothing's happening with that. So get yourself in a position where you can be the leaders on what the college football playoff looks like going forward. And he does need to have a rebuttal for Sankey saying, and Kirby, because clearly that was orchestrated last week. Did you guys have Paul on Thursday? What did he make
of
all of
that? We did not. So he had, I think he might have been talking to Steve Sarkisian when he was supposed to be on with us.
Okay.
But I mean, he's obviously doing, you know, his SEC media days responsibilities. Sure. But yeah, they were all singing that secession song.
Yeah, they're ready. They're ready to go. So he needs to have an answer for that. If the SEC does indeed break away, will the Big Ten do the same? Or be proactive and say, yeah, we're in it with them. Those two conferences have to get aligned. They have to.
For the first time in ever.
I don't think they are. And I'm guessing, as we talked about, not only has the Big Ten won the last three national championships in football, the SEC hasn't even participated in those national championship games. I'm not sure how much Tony Petitti thinks he needs the SEC.
So think about this. Think about what you just said. Would we be okay winning a national championship if to do so you did it without SEC participation? Think about that. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. retirement from football hits everyone differently.
For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet
and arguing about them.
Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Look, fellas, when it comes to making a big decision like the ring, you don't wing it. That's why I trust my friends at Diamond Cellar. Nearly 80 years, their families help generations of couples celebrate life's biggest moments, exceptional quality, larger diamonds, and better value. And guys, here's the best part. They're going to walk you through it step by step. You know you're getting it right. Whether you're ready to propose or ready to upgrade, visit Diamond Cellar, Salmo Road, Easton Town Center. Learn more at DiamondCellar.com. Let's put this on the poll. What's our wording on this, Reese? Would an Ohio State national championship that did not include SEC? That's too wordy. That ain't it.
I was thinking about this. Would the 2024 national championship mean as much if the SEC was not part of the CFP? Or some
take
version
out the
of
20,
that?
Yeah, I think you're onto it there. Would a national championship mean as much without SEC participation? Is that it?
Yep.
Does that do it? That maybe is it. Because
without
this is
the SEC.
Yeah. Because I think for them it would be, because they're that delusional. I've said this for years. The reason Paul's show works is because Arkansas believes it's entitled to Alabama. Missouri thinks they're one head coaching hire away from being Texas. Mississippi State believes with the right coach, they can be Georgia. Ole Miss, too. Ole Miss thinks they're just as good as LSU. All of it is there because there's a delusion to it. There is. But it works because they believe it. And so if they did break away, and that was all threats last week. I mean, it was all big bloated threats more than anything else. If they did do it, though, they are aligned to do it in that they have the television partner already in house to sell it and to push it and to agendize it and all of those things. They're much more organized on it to be able to do it. And I think their constituency, while they would prefer it the other way and bumping their chest like they're the big bad bullies as they were, you know, a decade ago, they would prefer that. They could talk themselves into it. I don't know if you could do it. Like, could the Big Ten do it alone? Because initially when I thought of this is, yeah, I think you could, as long as you had Notre Dame around, and be nice if you had Miami and some of the teams from the ACC and the Big 12. And then there was a little bit of a feeling of, well, it was everybody but those guys. But could the Big 10 break away from everybody else and do their own national champion? That I'm not sure about, especially with, I just don't think this league has the cohesion that the SEC has. We're still a bit awkward with the four teams out west and the two on the east coast. It's not quite as locked in as the SEC is. I'm not sure that it would.
It would not. I know for it would not. For everybody involved. This is poopy in your diaper last week for the SEC. Mm-hmm. That things have not gone their way in kind of spectacular fashion over mm-hmm. the last couple of seasons, where not only are you talking about teams that don't deserve to make it into the college football playoff, like some of your blue bloods in your conference, mm-hmm. you're also talking about not participating in the game. Like, y'all don't even make it. And mm-hmm. some of the teams get blown out, like how much hullabaloo Tennessee was making before they came to Columbus. They mm-hmm. didn't have their shirts on for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. and they got boat raced. And so I think there's so much frustration, because Joshua Perry had the great point last week, and he's in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, that mm-hmm. they probably feel hoodwinked that they had to move to 9 conference games.
I think that's fair. Yeah, they didn't want that, I don't think. I think their television partner said, we need it.
We have to have it, and they're like, meh.
Yeah. They get pushed a little bit more by ESPN than the Big Ten a lot. Well, I shouldn't say that. Ohio State gets pushed a lot by the television partners. But the other thing that was kind of crazy is the SEC, when they expanded, they played the hits. They gave you Alabama, Texas. They gave you Texas, Georgia. They gave you Oklahoma, Alabama. Like, they gave you those right away, where the Big Ten didn't. The Big Ten withheld Ohio State, USC for a couple of years, withheld Oregon, like, didn't do those things right away. So it's interesting. I think that what Petitti has to do today, the most important thing he has to do is he needs to lay out the next 3 to 5 years for this league, and he needs to give a coherent playoff plan, one that he can rubber stamp, that Ryan, I mean, Ryan's and Lanning are obviously, well, and Cignetti. It takes me so long. I still am not used to it. I was asked about this yesterday. I'm still not used to it. Like,
yeah, it's pretty simple. I win.
Indiana's defending national champions, for God's sakes. It's unbelievable. But you have to give something where those three coaches, I suppose Lincoln Riley to a lesser extent, can get out in front and say, we are ready. This is a playoff that makes sense for this league. I don't think it's 24. I think the constituency has told you it's not 24. So do you stay at 12? Do you go to 16? What does that look like? To me, that's what he's got to do today.
And I think Tony Petitti is going to continue to push for 24. Even if that just means it expands to 16, we know Tony Petitti wants more. He wants access. He wants inventory. Yeah. He wants content. And it is interesting, Bo, as you talk about the SEC and we talk about last week. The SEC couldn't talk about on the field. So they talked about, well, we have 80,000 at every stadium every year. Mm-hmm. They talked about our 9-3 is better than your 11-1, even though their 9-3 got in the playoff last year. And well, I don't know if we can play Ohio State anymore if 9-3 isn't going to get us in. What if we had just lost to Georgia and Florida? Well, how about what if you just lost to Georgia and Ohio State and you didn't lose to 4-8 crappy Florida? You know, it's funny the different tones that you get from both conferences. And the Big Ten today should get up on the podium and Tony Petitti, and they should say the last three national champions right here. But you know they're not going to, as we said.
No. The SEC last week, from my vantage point, I tried to stay largely unplugged, but I was curious to see how they would kind of shape their message. It's the Costanza line. I mean, honestly, it's where we are in politics right now. In this country right now. It's not a lie if you believe it. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, that's what last week was. It's not a lie if you believe it. We're still the big bad bullies. They just keep moving the goalposts on how to define the big bad bullies. And what they settled on was we have 80,000 at every stadium. Okay, great. Okay. Fantastic. Good for you. Where were you at the end? And you know that frustrates all of them in the biggest way possible. So, yeah, I'm very curious to see Petitti's tone. I'm curious to see his answers to some of this stuff. In terms of other pressing, I suppose he's got some Michigan things that he's going to be asked about in terms of the mess that is that athletic department and how the Big Ten kind of turned a blind eye to the cheating that was going on there, among other things that were going on up there. The fact that the Big Ten really didn't do much in terms of punishing the Michigan at all for those type of things. I think he's probably going to get some questions about that. He's going to get some questions about expansion. Will the Big Ten be interested in expansion in 2028 when the ACC teams can find a way out? I don't expect him giving you an honest answer on any of those things, but I do think he can be emphatic and he can be chesty. And if it is 24, and I think you're probably right, Bake, it will be 24 is what he'll continue to try to push. He needs to have a very cohesive plan on how to execute that. When they were talking a couple of years ago about that championship weekend where the three plays the six and the five, all this nonsense, like none of these coaches want that. Nobody wants that. The constituents don't want that. So the reality is, give me a plan that makes sense. Give me a plan that we can rally behind. Give me a plan that the coaches that follow you, and you said who? Bielema is first, 12:30?
Yep, Brenton, Illinois.
So that'll be great. He's entertaining as all heck. So give me a plan that Bielema can stand in front of and say, yeah, I'm for this, and this makes sense for Illinois, and it makes sense for Ohio State. That's his job today. And we'll see if he can actually execute it. He will take the podium at 11:45. Second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with the real truth. Boy, we got some good ones on the Big Ten side of things. Also, it is report day down in Cincinnati and up in Cleveland. We'll get to all of that coming up in the next hour of the program. Bishop and Friends, right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Big Ten Media Days begin today in Chicago. Conference Commissioner Tony Petitti will give the opening marks around 11:45. Festivities roll Tuesday through Thursday with Ohio State's Ryan Day set to speak on Wednesday. He'll be joined in the Windy City by Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Jalen McClain. Before heading to Chicago, Coach Day is going to join AD Ross Bjork at Ohio Stadium for a press conference at 2 o'clock to officially unveil a new jersey patch sponsorship with Chase Bank. The circular Chase logo will appear on all 36 varsity sports starting this fall, and the bank is reportedly giving Ohio State Athletics $17 million per year for the partnership. In baseball, the Reds and Guardians were rained out last night in Cincinnati. They'll make it up as part of a doubleheader today. Game 1's at 1:40, Game 2's at 7:40. Guardians are two back in the AL Central. Reds are 4.5 out of a wild card spot. This update is sponsored by Vermeer Heartland. Vermeer Heartland opens in Columbus August 3rd. Get the Vermeer equipment you trust. Genuine parts, expert service, VermeerHL.com.
Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So we were asking the question, well, what color would the jersey patch be on a white uniform? Deep Throat DP alerted me to this, and I see you guys found it as well. It'll be black. Will be the and it
or is it anthracite?
Semantics. It's very dark. Very dark gray or black. One of the two. Either way, it really pops on the white one as well. So if you're Nike, I think you're going to want a bigger logo. If I'm Nike, I'm going to want that thing to be a little bit bigger because we're paying a lot, and I don't blame them. I think that that's very fair. Somebody also sent me Seve Ballesteros had a stacked Nike on like a visor in like the early 90s.
There you go.
Talking about Oregon. Like just Oregon just stacks Nike patches as their jersey sponsor. Might be the solution to it. Let's see what the real truth is. Go ahead, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
We'll start with some jersey patch sponsorships. In the next 5 years, all 18 Big Ten teams will have a jersey patch sponsored. Is that the real truth?
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be embarrassing for some because, like, what is a jersey patch worth? Like, we did the most valuable Big Ten teams. What do you think is the least valuable Big Ten brand? It's Rutgers, right? I asked the question. Yes. I think I gave the answer.
Probably.
I mean, Purdue has Neil Armstrong. Drew Brees.
And the basketball is valuable to a point where I don't think we're thinking enough of right now because you got footballs on the dome.
Yeah, it's probably Rutgers.
Minnesota's got to be pretty low.
How much do you think their brand is damaged by the fact that they're a rodent?
Would he had help things? If they that's the way back thing, I think they would choose.
Right?
You wouldn't gave you him like, what that? Would you do? Like, well, it wouldn't be the gopher.
Well, I mean, that seems kind of easy though for a sponsorship. I mean, Rose Pest Solutions. Let's go.
My guys are ready.
Bucky's. That's a beaver.
Bucky's. Yeah, Minnesota's probably low on that. Rutgers. Yeah, Purdue would be in the bottom third for sure. But yeah, it's probably Rutgers. But yeah, that's the real truth. They're all going to have jersey patches in the next, I think they'll all have it in the next two. Won't be 17 million, but it'll be a couple million.
I just saw a scroll of all the jerseys at Big Ten Media Day.
Mm-hmm.
Bad job out of Ohio State not getting the Chase patch on there already. They should have had that ready to roll, shouldn't they?
They had it last week to do the photo shoot. Like we saw Kenyatta Jackson in a 2 with the Chase logo on his jersey.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
Oh, I see again. I was unplugged, so I didn't see it. So these got leaked last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Michigan State and Wisconsin, maybe Illinois, have something on theirs. I can't tell what it is. But the Wisconsin one doesn't look blue, so I'm not sure it's their Culver's logo.
Well, maybe they just did the Culver's in blue initially, and now it's going back to, like, because you could do Culver's in white.
You could. We just heard last week, though, that that was a Nike thing where they were not going to do different colors than what the jerseys were already.
Well, maybe Adidas followed suit and say, hey, that's a good idea.
As they should. Under Armour should be in a similar boat with a, you got to keep them color coordinated here at least.
Yeah.
And I don't know what these are. Like I said, it's just scanning by, but there's definitely something else on Michigan State, Illinois, and Wisconsin's jersey in this picture.
So I know Michigan State does have the MSU Federal Credit Union as their jersey patch sponsor. So that's what that would be. And it kind of looks, if you haven't, Bo, you'd be familiar with the Northeast Ohio osteopathic medicine patch on the Browns practice uniforms. That's what Michigan State's looks like.
Oh, okay. Okay. On their practice jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Looking at it and slowing it down a little bit, that does, I think that is the Culver's logo on the Wisconsin. So I'm kind of surprised.
Just white.
I'm surprised Ohio
that's
State blue. Didn't have, no, it looks blue.
Oh, really?
I'm surprised Ohio State doesn't have the Chase on there ready to go since they made the announcement this morning.
If you're Adidas, because isn't Adidas Wisconsin? I think they are. If you're Adidas, aren't you like, well, hold on a second. All my eyes are now going to this blue Culver's patch.
You need the money, right? If Culver's is willing to, Wisconsin's Under Armour, but if you're the Badgers,
Under Armour,
you're just kind of trying to get money from wherever you can.
No, no, I get it, but like if you're Under Armour, I'm saying then, okay, fine, then the Under Armour's now black. Like we need something to pop just as big on the other side. What a mess.
Bill Belichick will be the coach at North Carolina next season. Is that the real truth?
No chance. No chance. I'm not sure if he'll be the coach at North Carolina this season, quite honestly. He might get through this year. Anybody who knows Mike Lombardi at all, people who worked with him, no one is surprised that Mike Lombardi got in trouble. Nobody. Let's just say there's a pattern of behavior with Mike Lombardi and the way that he treats certain people in an office. So there's no surprise for anybody that Mike Lombardi got in trouble. It is stupefying to me that they compensated him $1.5 million. I saw somebody who covers college football this morning saying he should have to collect his checks with a ski mask on because it's just robbery for how incompetent he has been running that thing. And Belichick watched over all of it. Guys, I don't know why Belichick took the job. I don't know what he thought it was. I don't know if he was so hungry to coach. Every single thing that he's done there has become just farcical. From the Jordan Hudson stuff to all of it. It's just farcical, nonsensical. And the crazy thing is, and Reimer could speak to this, North Carolina holds itself in an incredibly high esteem. For those of you not familiar, like think Michigan level arrogance. That's the way North Carolina views itself. And much like Michigan, they have been wildly embarrassed here. I see no scenario how Bill Belichick keeps his job. And quite honestly, the guy who hired Belichick probably ought to be out of a job, too.
Real quick, before I go to North Carolina, it looks like Illinois announced their jersey patch deal yesterday. It's a 5-year, $30 million agreement with Busey Bank.
Sure.
So,
Gary?
That'd be great if it was.
That was a great show. I'm with Busey. You guys remember that?
Yes.
It's incredible.
And I had never known about anything Gary Busey until I saw that show. I'm like, who is this?
Oh, you didn't know him as an actor?
I'd probably seen him in stuff, but I'd never just made the connection.
Well, Reese, you've seen him in Under Siege.
Yeah. Then I went back. I'm like, oh, he's an actor. Like, he's an established, he's pretty legitimate actor. He's also an insane person.
I always remember him in Black Sheep. It was a perfect role for him
in that movie. That's great. I think he's an Academy Award nominee, too, for playing Buddy Holly, I think.
On the North Carolina side of things here, winning sure does cure all, but I don't think they're going to win this year. So I feel like North Carolina's in for another rough season. And I feel like somehow they're going to make it mutual, like Bill, and that they're going to come to Bill and be like, hey, maybe this probably isn't for you anymore. And he's going to say, yeah, you're probably right. I can just go spend my time on the beach with my 25-year-old girlfriend. Yeah. So I don't think it's just too much. I mean, you had all the Jordan Hudson stuff. You had parents going to the administration complaining about the treatment of kids. Mm-hmm. And now this with Mike Lombardi and somebody in the front office. It's just too much to not be winning.
Although, is Jordan telling him that he's got to stay because she, as his girlfriend, has a ton of power that she otherwise wouldn't?
Probably.
Because she loves, like, we've seen her peacock around that place. Loves the attention. Wouldn't get it anywhere else.
No. No. It's weird. It's going to go down as one of those strange... Like, I remember, like, Jerry Tarkanian coached the Spurs for, like, 18 games. I think Raleigh Massimino maybe coached in the NBA for, like, a season. Like, there's beeline to, like, the Cavs. This one's like that. Like, it's just going to go down as one of the strangest hires in the moment. It felt strange to anybody who was around college football. It was so funny listening. You guys remember this? Like the NFL people who don't follow college football thinking like Belichick had the answers to the test. It was so funny. And he's just been fish out of water the whole way.
33rd team. I mean, we laughed at it then. And yeah, it was now nuts. Everybody's joining us and laughing at this because, brother, it's been done before.
Yeah, man.
They're doing it
better. Now. Years ago.
Adam Fantilli will sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets this week. Is that the real truth?
Do they need to sign him this week? Is that the real truth?
They don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
But the longer he goes unsigned, the more and more chance of an offer sheet, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else jumps in.
Now, whether that be an offer sheet that's you can match or not, and I think the Blue Jackets are in position where they can match any.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we heard last week that he was in Italy.
Yeah.
And so they were going to get back to the table this week when I don't understand why this isn't done. I don't understand.
They've not had a good offseason, Baker.
No, it's been a terrible offseason.
Terrible. Yeah.
And then you had this past weekend, the rumors that came up out of nowhere that Marchenko was about to be traded and they were deliberating between two teams. Now, everybody has said that wasn't true, but
yeah,
it came from somewhere.
Well, yeah. They also said it wasn't true with all the Werenski stuff, and that stuff got pretty real pretty quick. So, yeah. Carlson got the offer sheet from Philly and then re-signed in Anaheim and basically crippled them going forward in terms of retaining their talent. Bedard got done last week, didn't he?
Yep, five-year, $15 million.
What was it?
5 years, $15 million a year.
15 per? So I guess now you have like a barometer because like the Carlson was out of whack. Like that thing's nuts. That thing's going to be an outlier. So then what's a number for Fantilli that is five at 12? Like he's not getting 15. Like what's the number?
I think Porty threw out last week, just spitballing 5 years at 13 or 13 and a half.
Okay. So I'm close. Yeah, I'm close. Yeah. I mean, yeah, get it done. Get it done, and it should have been done, is the reality of it. So hopefully they do get that done. We've got NFL teams reporting to camp north and south of us. Very different expectations for both. I have a feeling yesterday was turtle soup day down in Cincinnati. It feels like it was with this availability that we're going to have to play for. We'll have a little fun with that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fall camp is coming. Will Julian Sayin take his game to the next level? Will Matt Patricia's defense dominate again? Join us live for training camp fun starting Thursday, August 6th. Your home of the Buckeyes. Woo! The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear, lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 80 years. NFL camp reporting is on. You had rookies and quarterbacks last week. Full teams reporting today, bound in Cincinnati and up in Cleveland as well. Is this audio from yesterday?
Yes.
So this is Turtle Soup Day. You guys, have you been?
No, have you?
Yeah, multiple times. Turtle Soup Day is spectacular. This is the day. So my guess is Mike Brown talked yesterday as well. You see, you have a pie. I'm pretty sure yesterday
so
as
now
well.
It's mock turtle soup day.
Oh, it's not turtle soup day?
They're not doing actual turtles in the soup.
Maybe they never did. And maybe it was just called turtle soup. Maybe they used beef. But it's a delight. It's a really nice start. And it's the first time I went, it was nuts. Like, you go down there, you get the turtle soup, you get a salad, and then you get a steak. You got a steak or chicken, I think, were the choices. And you get a chance to interview the coach, the general manager, and Mike Brown. And it was the one time of year that Mike Brown spoke was at Turtle Soup Day. So I've been a few times. It's really cool. I think it's awesome that he does it. It's really old school. I'm sure it's something his dad did years ago, and he's just followed suit with it. And I think it's awesome that they do it. So good job on the Bengals for that. These two teams come into this season in very different spots. I know what the Cincinnati Bengals are. I know what their expectations ought to be. The Cincinnati Bengals are a Super Bowl contender. Their expectation should be to win the Super Bowl. I think they're the most complete team in the AFC going into this season. There just are no questions. Their best players are all in their prime. They've invested bigly on the defensive side of the ball. There is really no excuse for Cincinnati not to be a great football team this year, and everything they've done would reflect that. The Cleveland side of it is a bunch of unknowns. A bunch. More talent offensively, certainly, than they've had in recent years in a big, big way. What does Todd Monken do at quarterback with Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders? What does a post-Myles Garrett defense look like? Million questions with the Browns in terms of what they can be, and I think a wide swath of what they can be as a team. Could I see them surprising people and being better offensively and going above that 5.5 win total? Absolutely. Could I also see it not going well at quarterback and it being a bit of a struggle? I suppose it's in play. In Cincinnati, I see no scenario how this team is not, barring injury, a 12-win team. That's just what they ought to be. And a lot of that has been because they have done everything from a front office to give Burrow the best chance to succeed. And one thing we've heard all offseason is a very different tone from Joe Burrow. Here is Zach Taylor on Joe and the little extra edge he has this year.
I think that's everybody. I mean, to me, I know when I look at standings, I look at our schedule or something, we were 6-11, third in the division. That's what stands out to me is you picture that division ranking third in the division. And every year is a new year. We got new players, all that kind of stuff. But that's what sticks with me. Not that you need motivation, but it does piss you off to an extent, you know, that's what we did. And that's how people should see us until we prove them otherwise. And so I can't speak for Joe and how he feels, but that's certainly how I feel, you know, coming into the season with a lot of just a chance to clean the slate a little bit and go do the things that we expect to do.
Personnel boss Duke Tobin, who's been a very busy guy the last couple of off seasons, he's really given this team everything that they need to be successful. They've done it through free agency. They've done it through trades. They've done it through retention. Here is Tobin on the expectations in Cincinnati this year.
Our expectation is to win every game we line up and play. That's our expectation, period. It's about coming together as a team, maximizing every player we have with what we do with them, and winning the game. That's our expectation. Job one is coming together as a team and making sure everyone is on the same page and executing at their highest level they can execute within the scheme that we're putting in front of them. So that's the work that's going in right now. But our expectations are incredibly high.
Highest since they returned from the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
In Cincinnati?
Yeah, this is the most talented team on paper that I can remember. And that's through every era of Bengals football that's been around in 36 years. And it has a lot to do with the quarterback, but those wide receivers, we were thinking about it last week, like if the death ray is on the planet and you got to have somebody run your offense, you've got to have skill guys.
Yeah,
it's Joe, it's Jamar, it's T.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think another thing that makes me optimistic about this Bengals team is maybe it's not the best offensive line in football, but they've played a lot of football together. They're bringing back almost the whole line from last year. And I think that's one position where continuity still helps is on the offensive line.
I agree. I think it's critical that everybody's coming back. I think it's critical what they've done on the defensive line. They're going to be a problem up front for you to block. And I think that that helps. Yeah, all they need is injury help. That's it. Just don't get hurt, Joe. Don't get hurt, T. Don't get hurt, Jamar. As long as that happens and the defensive remains largely intact, I mean, the other thing, and Zach mentioned it about how last year they were third in division. Well, that means they get a third place in the division schedule. It's navigable. You know, they can do it. I would imagine down in Cincinnati this over the next month, there is a very business-like, not a whole lot of questions. We know exactly who they are. Like, how many position battles are there even in Cincinnati? Not much.
I like that you mentioned the schedule, because I was literally typing that in. Because yeah. I had seen some things on their schedule. According to ESPN, the easiest schedules in the NFL this year, mm-hmm. number one, the Cleveland Browns. Number two, mm-hmm. the New Orleans Saints. Number three, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and those three teams have very little in common in terms of what is expected of them on the field. So you're telling me I got the third easiest schedule in the NFL, and I have what I believe to be the most talented top-to-bottom roster in the AFC. Like, I'm not saying that they're better than the Seahawks roster. I'm not saying that they're better than the Rams roster, certainly. But to me, they're every bit as good as New England's, or Kansas City's, or Baltimore's, or Buffalo's. I think they're more talented than all of those teams. So all they need is injury, a little bit of injury luck, and they should win this division. They should be the one seed in the AFC. They should have those expectations down in Cincinnati. You mentioned the team with the easiest schedule on that, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They report today quarterbacks and rookies have been there since last week. That's what this is all going to be about until Todd Monken makes it not about that. It's just going to be about quarterbacks. It's going to be about quarterbacks every day. And I do think, and I said this in the summer with their minicamp, when they were alternating who went with the ones. Today was a Shador day. Today's a Deshaun day. I really think, and I know that Todd, I believe that Todd wants an answer to this sooner rather than later. And maybe he already has one. I think it would behoove them, if they know who it is, to get that done soon. Because otherwise, you lend yourself to an entire training camp process of being asked, who's the quarterback? And whichever one of these two quarterbacks it is, whether it's Shador or whether it's Deshaun, they need all the reps. This is the National Football League. We don't need to be if it is Deshaun Watson, then don't count Shador's reps because he's a backup quarterback. That's the task. So if I'm Cleveland and I know it's Deshaun or I know it's Shador, I would do that as soon as possible. I would name that sucker and get it rolling. And get everybody on the same page. Their over-under is 5.5 in Cleveland. I think a lot of reason that some people are kind of high, surprised it's that high. Offensively, their weaponry is going to be vastly improved. But a big part of that being 5.5, I do believe, is the schedule that Bake talked about. Could you stumble into 6 wins? That type of thing. And defensively, obviously, you lose Miles, you lose Jim. They've been the face of the defense the last couple of years. So now this will be Rudy, and it'll be certainly Jared Verse and Carson Schlesinger, Denzel Ward. Those will kind of be the faces of the defense going forward here up in Cleveland. But I mean, Cleveland has way more questions, but they all start at quarterback. That's it. That's the number one thing. And to me, when you know what that is, nail it down and let's move along.
So one less preseason game this year with Monken and the quarterback situation. How do you think they'll handle that? If I saw from Zach Jackson, they've got 10 practices in 11 days starting tomorrow for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. August 15th, the first preseason game. Is QB1 trotting out there and getting as many reps over those 3 games as possible?
No, they have a joint practice with Buffalo, too, somewhere in there.
Sure.
So I think that's when, by the time you get to that joint practice, that's when you have to have QB1. That can't be a joint figure it out. That's got to be QB1. So if that's Deshaun, then he's to be QB1 before joint practices, and then he would get all of the reps in the joint practices, and then the preseason games would be a whole first half of Shador. And honestly, like, if Dillon Gabriel isn't in your plans, then I would probably go Talon Green next and give him
100%.
The next part of it, because you got to figure out what you're going to do with all. You have 3 young quarterbacks. If it is Deshaun, now if it's Shador, then you have to say, well, Deshaun, how does Deshaun manage himself as a backup? How does he handle all of that? It seems like Deshaun is convinced and believes truly that this is going to be a clean slate for him and that he's going to win this job. And away you go. I'm sure Shador feels the same way, but they've got to get that thing nailed down as quickly as possible. is my opinion on that. And hopefully within the first week of camp, they get that thing kind of sorted out. That's what you'd hope for. Mr. Tiberi in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the
Atlas Beller has convenient 2 hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tiberi.
Sponsored by CEC Turf and Tractor. Find your next Kubota tractor at CEC Turf and Tractor. Visit online at cecturfandtractor.com.
Buddy, it's Big Ten Media Days today. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's here. And they open it with huge news involving Chase.
Yeah.
And all the and let me just give, because I've heard from different people, here's my take on this.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense. You're talking about the biggest bank in the United States, one of the biggest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the biggest athletic department in the United States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got 18,000 employees here in Columbus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which they're proud that over 3,500 of them are Buckeyes. It mm-hmm. makes sense. It just makes sense. Jamie Dimon, you know this as well as I do.
Mm-hmm.
They do Real Life Wednesdays. Urban Meyer started Real Life Wednesdays.
Yep.
And Jamie Dimon came to Columbus and spoke to the football team. And for those that don't like it, this is the new world we're in, and it makes sense. This is what you got to do. And this is monumental, this deal. It's a big deal.
Sure as hell is. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I haven't really heard anybody having too big of a problem with it. I think
no.
We're talking to a sophisticated football audience here. My hunch is that Buckeye fan understands that this is the road you're going to go down. And I think the other part that you have to acknowledge in this is, to your point, as brands go to put on a Buckeye jersey, it's hard to find one better than this one. I mean, it really fits pretty good. Like, there's a lot of embarrassing things you can put on a jersey that you might not want long term. But I mean, this is one of the, you know, one of the premier financial institutions in the history of the world. It's a good association. It makes sense on every level to me.
And you're talking about a major hub is here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about that, you know, I go back to when it was Bank One and they merged and all this. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, and it's the price of doing business. I mean, if we have said it a million times, Bo, on this show, the genie's out of the bottle. He ain't going back in. The kids are getting paid now. The money's crazy. A 2014 playoff is coming. And it's like I tell people, you know, and you remember Gene Smith used to float the idea of a super conference coming. I got news for you, and you can tell me I'm crazy if you want, but I believe the super conference is here. It is the Big Ten. The Big Ten's going to have all the power. There is going to be a 2014 playoff, whether you like it or not. This conference now goes coast to coast, and it's going to go in the South. I do believe Miami and Florida State and probably North Carolina and Clemson will come in. I do believe that eventually schools like Texas and Oklahoma and Texas A&M, they're going to say, wait a minute, do we want to be in the SEC? Do we want to be in the Big 12? Or do we want to be in the Big 10? I think that's what is coming, and it's here. And I think it's just and it's sooner than later. It's going to happen quicker than we think.
Yeah, the question with all of what you're talking about some big picture things there, is Tony Petitti the guy to do it? Because he's been pretty mealy-mouthed, you know, the first couple of years as the Big Ten commissioner, and he ain't Jim Delaney. He's not that. And so he talks today in an hour and 15 minutes. You've been at these things a million times like I have. What do you want to hear from him at 11:45? Because I think he's going to be asked about a lot of the big tent, big picture things that you just talked about. Donnie, I want to see him be a little chesty. I'd talk about three straight national championships. I'd talk about the big brands that hit the Big Ten. I don't know if we're going to get it. I hope we do.
Well, and he's calculating, and I think behind the scenes he might be a little chesty, but I think out front he's kind of taken a – but I agree with you. I mean, it's like I used to say about Ohio State. Ohio State's the big dog in the Big Ten. They should have a bigger voice, and I think we're seeing that now with Ohio State. And I think the Big Ten needs to – you know – you hear some of the stuff coming from the SEC. We're still the best conference. We're still this. We're still that. And that's debatable. That's fine. All I know is that the Big Ten is dominated where it matters the most in championships. They've won the last three football national championships. We saw what happened in basketball, and I don't think those days are going to end. And you're talking about, states that you know, the programs where, you know, oil money or mm-hmm. industrial. And I think that it's going to continue. I just don't see how the SEC can compete. And they can keep saying whatever. Nick Saban said it best. The only way a kid from the South will go to the North to play sports is if you pay him. Well, guess what? They are paying him. He's
yeah,
right.
We can.
That's the facts. And yes, I would like to see him be a little more chesty. And do I like everything that's happening? No. Do you like everything that's happening?
No.
But it's the rules now. And I think if we could go back and, you know, if they could go back and fix this and get ahead of it, if the NFL would ever pay, because what we're really talking about is football, Bo, and basketball mm-hmm. to a certain extent. They could have got ahead of this a long time ago. The NFL has never paid for its free farm system, has it? Never.
Never. And, no. Nor will it.
And there's nothing like the NFL draft. Don't talk to me about the baseball draft or the hockey draft or, you know, the NBA to a certain extent, but it's only two rounds. There's nothing like the NFL. And these are guys are self-made. Now they're self-made millionaires that are going to the next league. We had one pro league. I guess we need another one now.
Yeah, we do. College football's pro sports is what it is. What is your... What can you tell? What do you remember the first time you went to a Big Ten media day?
Yeah, they were always over in Chicago, and we used mm-hmm. to go. You know, we went over to see Earl Bruce. And,
okay, so mid '80s, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
how many people were there?
I mean, they were always well attended. Not like it is today, with think about what we have now today. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone has a website. And so, but yeah, I mean, and it was fun to go, but it's like you would go get all these interviews. Like we'd go interview Hayden Fry and we'd go interview Bo Schembechler and all that. And it was good for the day, but there wasn't much more you could do with it. You know, I mean, you did it for the day and then, the season got on and, you know, it was all dated stuff, but it's fun. Because we both know that in this city, in this state, football is a religion. Mm-hmm. And it's called Ohio State football. And the expectations are through the roof. No one knows that better than Ryan Day. But it's just, I don't know, you just get excited. And now the countdown's underway. They're going to open camp. They're going to start practicing. And, you know, before you know it, the Baylor game is going to be here. And before you know it, they're going to be in Texas. And, you know, in Ohio State, once again, you know, leading the way, they're Vegas's favorite to win it. You know what?
Actually, this morning, it just flipped to Notre Dame. I think people looked at Notre Dame's schedule and they went, oh, they've got a one game schedule. Hard to imagine Notre Dame being anything other than 11-1, Dommy. This Buckeye schedule a little bit more robust than that, but the Buckeyes still the two choice. So that just flipped this morning. The Buckeyes were the choice yesterday, and it just flipped. Did you do anything fun in this summer? Any summer vacation fun?
Well, we're getting ready to go to Hilton Head in a couple weeks.
Let's go.
This is your annual trip. We're going to golf. We're going to go down there, and we're going to get into some stuff, and I'm going to get some shrimp, and we're going to go crabbing, and I'm going to golf, and we're going to go to Stingray Cove and catch some bull sharks and some stingrays.
Baby.
And I'll send you all that stuff.
What about the babies? The babies coming? Do they know?
Oh, yeah. We're all going. Everybody.
Oh, the whole family. All the babies.
We're all going in a big house.
Oh, I love this.
Going into a big house, and you should come down. I got an extra bedroom. Why don't you come down, and we can go. By the way, you know where I'd like to take you?
Tell me.
The Heisey Museum. I went to the Heisey Museum over in Newark. So little Dom was in a car show.
Museum in Newark. Yeah. What's a Heisey Museum?
They make Heisey glass. It's not they don't make it anymore, but it's
okay.
It's this, and it should be on a bucket list. If you like glassware, And they got every type of glass. Back in 1843 or what, 1895 when they started, and they went to 1955, I was not living then, for the record. But anyways, that Heisey glasses. So I went and I took the tour and I did it. You know,
that's fun.
You know, and I posted it on Facebook. You're a guy that enjoys a good glass.
I do like a glass. Do they have glasses? Yeah, you got little heavy bottom glass. Can I buy one there?
They had all that. They had cobalt. They had everything. And if you go, you can buy some of the stuff. And you can still buy some stuff. They don't make it anymore, obviously.
Okay.
They closed in 1955. But they made all that in Newark, the Heisey Museum.
That's pretty cool,
right,
man.
Up there. I would recommend you go there and then go to Olentangy Caverns and walk the Bigfoot Trail. It is amazing. And they got real
Bigfoot. I'll tell you what.
But it's amazing.
I was in Montana last week.
Oh, tell me.
Way north. I'm going to get just to tell you something, because I think if you're looking for Bigfoot, I can tell you where to go. There's a region in Montana called the Yak.
Yeah.
That's where Bigfoot is, brother.
Sure it is. I'm sure
you keep
he is.
Talking about him being in Northeast Ohio. No. He's in the Yak. They were slinging Bigfoot stuff left and right. My guy would thrive there. There's not people anywhere.
Well, let me tell you something, just so you know.
Okay.
Do you know there's bears in Ohio now?
Yeah, little black bears. They're not going to harm you. You
let
could
me just
wrestle
say
them.
This. If we got black bears running around this state, and they're not the smartest animal, Bigfoot, who's highly intelligent, if he don't want to be found here, he's not found. He's here. I'm telling you. I feel him.
I feel him. All right. Yes. I'll see you next week.
Goodbye. I love you. Bye.
Love you, too. There he goes. Tuesdays with DeBerry on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Fritz right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Our favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Thanks to Baker for putting this in front of me. This was yesterday on ESPN. Shams Charania, the worldwide leader's NBA insider, says LeBron James is expected to take on primary ball handling duties for the 76ers this season. He adds James played point guard during the 2019-2020 season and led the league in assists with 10.2 per game. For Tyrese Maxey, that's a thing. Thing or not a thing.
LeBron James has been the point guard his entire career. They can label him a power forward all they want. How many teams that you've watched LeBron play for has he not been the instigator of the offense, the initiator of the offense? Last year with Luka? Is that it?
The Olympics?
And well, even the Olympics he largely did, except when Kobe was there. No, I mean, he's been the point forward forever. Like, this is not any way news, shape, or form. It's no different. I suppose if people out there thought that he was going to play, like, power forward and run pick and roll, I mean, he's going to run pick and roll, but he's going to be the one with the ball in his hand. He's not going to do it any other way, so... And honestly, it might make sense with their roster to do it that way. My guess is he will do, you know, some pick and roll stuff with Embiid. He'll do it with Maxey. The person who's really out of whack in this is Jaylen Brown. And I do wonder if Philly maybe tries to flip him.
Because well, the return would look like on that.
It'd look probably better than what they gave up.
Hey, Cleveland!
Right. Like, I don't know what that would look like, but like, I do wonder if there's a Jaylen Brown flip there that would make some sense, because I don't know what you're going to do with all of this.
Part of this makes sense because, as you mentioned, Bo, like LeBron's kind of been a ball-dominant guy his whole career. Offense has always run through him. I always think the LeBron and Michael comparisons, I get it. because they're the two best to ever play in the game. But LeBron's game was always kind of more magic than it was Jordan to me. So it all makes sense there, but it doesn't make sense in the fact that you've got a guy that's become a superstar in Tyrese Maxey that's already the point guard. And you thought that maybe at 41 years old, LeBron James would kind of take on a more secondary, third type of role, be a role player in this thing. Now, LeBron's going to miss a lot of games. And I don't think LeBron's going to be playing 30 minutes a night every night. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have plenty of time where the ball is in Tyrese Maxey's hands and nothing changes. I do kind of wonder, though, as we talk about this, and you mentioned Jaylen Brown,
mm-hmm.
are there too many cooks in the kitchen right now? Is there enough basketball to go around to feed everyone? Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is going to be an issue in Philly.
I will, as de facto radio general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, give Philadelphia every first round pick the Cavs can trade and a not so gently used James Harden in exchange for Jaylen Brown.
That'd be a pretty fascinating team.
Be great.
Yeah.
This baseball's trade deadline is Monday at 6. ESPN's Jeff Passan was answering questions yesterday on Threads and had this to say about Detroit Tigers two-time Cy Young winner Tarek Skubal. As motivated as the Rays are to make a splash, as much as the Braves could benefit from pairing Skubal with Chris Sale, he makes a lot of sense with the Dodgers, particularly with Shohei Ohtani's knee leaving his pitching in question. Thing or not a thing?
Well, that's good because, plucky little Dodgers. Got to find a way.
Really use a break there.
They could use a break. Scratch a nickel together. See if you could get themselves a little something. Well, I haven't even paid attention. Are they the best team in baseball? My guess is they are.
Oh, they're up there.
Or record-wise. I bet they are. My guess is they are. So Ohtani's hurt because he was trying to win the Cy Young this year. That's what it was. That's what the whole thing was about, wasn't it? Was he was trying to win the Cy Young?
He was pitching like he could have, but he's got a knee thing, so they said he's not going to be pitching for a while. Your plucky little Dodgers, by the way, Bo, are finally the best team in baseball with a 632 win
percentage. Took them long enough.
Little engine that could.
Those bums.
Just a little engine that could.
Only 12 and a half games ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks in the NL West.
Jeez. What an absurd sport that is. It's become.
Baseball to me does have a little bit of a problem here with this, though, because every great player, we're like, every great player the Reds have, he's going to end up like Ellie De La Cruz, man, he's going to look great in Dodger blue. And he probably will end up there. Or the Yankees or the Red always been, Sox. Bakes? Maybe.
It's the way this sport has always been. If you think about Yankees, Dodgers, Cardinals, and then everybody else, like championships won over the last 50 years, last 40 years, whatever. I mean, like they've won the vast majority. Like it's always kind of been that way. I
will say this.
I'm with you, but it's just the way it's always been.
Good on the Dodgers because there's a lot of teams, the Padres, the Mets, that spend a lot of money and they can't win a damn thing.
Yes.
So good on the Dodgers that they somehow get it done.
Yeah,
it looks like Ohtani last pitched on July 3rd, and there's no timetable to get him back on the bump, but he served as their DH. So, if they got Skubal, it'd be pretty fun to be a Dodgers fan. You know, you guys have had it rough over the last couple of years, so I'd be thrilled for you if that were to work out. Madden 2027 is available August 13th. On Monday, EA Sports announced six players are part of their 99 overall club, including Jackson Smith and Jigba. Also in the 99 club, Matthew Stafford, Miles Garrett, Josh Allen, Ja'Marr Chase, and Cardinals tight end Trey McBride.
Whoa.
Thing or not a thing.
Good for Trey McBride getting on that list. Very cool to see Jax on that list as well, and very, very deserved there. I know we've had a couple of months to get used to it, but it has been strange, like seeing in the Rams uniform rollout and then here in the 99 club, it is still strange seeing Miles in something other than a Browns jersey. That'll take a little getting used to do that. But this seems like an appropriate list to me. It's a lot of love to Stafford, obviously, won the MVP. I don't think he's ever been a 99 before, so that's pretty cool. I'll tell you this. My kids have not asked me once about Madden. Not once. They were asking me about college football at the end of May. We had that within the first couple of days of launch, pre-ordered it, all that stuff. There's not been one ask about Madden yet.
So I've never been the biggest video game guy, and especially, I don't think I've played Madden too much in my life, but weren't 99s really hard to get at one point? Like, there would be one, maybe two. Doesn't this seem like a lot for six?
It's a pretty big jumping off point. McBride is a 99, is a surprise. I'm surprised two quarterbacks went 99s. Usually it's just one and two receivers. Like, I guess ideally you go, if you want it to be, since Jackson won Offensive Player of the Year, go Miles, Jackson, and Stafford, because Stafford won MVP. Those are your 99s, and everybody else is below it. So maybe it is a little bit gluttonous on the 99s.
Also, I didn't realize this, but Fish gave me the Madden and Summerall book to read because he knew that I liked the play-by-play and loved John Madden and Pat Summerall, and I was reading it on my flights. Madden was not the first choice for the EA Sports video game. It was Joe Montana. And Joe Montana turned it down, and then they pivoted to Madden.
That there's a great documentary on that. Initially, he was paid kind of peanuts, and then I think inevitably EA made it right down the road, made it right for that. But yeah, wow, I didn't realize Joe Montana, not that Joe needed any more breaks. His life's gone pretty well, but yeah, that's pretty wild. 20 most interesting turns its attention to the Bayou Bengals of LSU. You can make an argument they are the most interesting program in the country. Can Lane Kiffin win in year one? And my goodness, he goes to Oxford middle of September. So you're going to get some headliners right out of the gates. We'll get into them coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here. On the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The Browns and Bengals report to training camp today. They'll have practices starting tomorrow. Preseason begins next Thursday. Hall of Fame game in Canton. The Panthers will play the Cardinals again next Thursday. Only three preseason contests this year. The Bengals host the Lions August 13th. Browns are at the Bears Saturday, August 15th. In college football, Big Ten Media Days begin in 45 minutes. All 18 teams are headed to Chicago for football festivities through Thursday. Ohio State's Ryan Day will speak on Wednesday, but today at 2, Coach Day will join AD Ross Bjork at Ohio Stadium for a press conference to officially unveil a new jersey patch sponsorship with Chase Bank, whose logo will appear on all 36 varsity sports this fall. It's reportedly a $17 million per year deal for that partnership. In baseball, the Reds and Guardians play a doubleheader starting at 1:40 today. Game 2's at 7:10. You can hear that one Tuesday after the Buckeyes show right here on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, a big day around here. We got a jersey sponsor, Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase Bake on the jersey. The Chase sponsorship is on there. Looks pretty good. We got the questions answered. On the white jersey, it'll be black. You got a press conference today where they're going to discuss it. $17 million is the number that is being bandied about. That's a big, big number. More than a lot of NBA teams got, more than anybody in college football got. Makes you think that more are going to follow. Certainly Michigan, Notre Dame, some of the other ones that currently are patchless. You've got Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti going to be at the podium at the Hilton downtown Chicago in about 43 minutes from now. He's going to have 45 minutes at the podium, and then it goes to the coaches. I think Bielema is up first in Big Ten Media Days. The Buckeyes will be at the podium tomorrow. So the Big Ten taking center stage. The other conference that is always center stage, of course, is the SEC, and that's where we head for today's 20 most interesting.
We'll expand conferences, we'll expand the playoffs, but we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
If you're making a list of the most interesting programs that do not include the team you root for, if that list is upwards of three or four, I don't know how this one isn't number one. This is this is the curiosity for all of us in the sport that have covered the sport for a long while. If you listen to me regularly through the years, you know, and I've talked about this with Paul for years, and he, since he's been on with us, and he'll join us on Thursday at 10:30, I always thought Lane Kiffin should replace Nick Saban. But people at Alabama didn't think that he was up to it. They didn't think that he had proven it enough. He didn't have exactly the greatest relationship in the end there with Nick, although it seems like they've patched all those things up here in the last 3 or 4 years. I just believed in Kiffin. I believed in him. I believed his inability to recruit. I believe in his ability to call offensive plays. I think had he stayed at Tennessee, had he stayed at USC, he would have had ultimate success. He was kind of undone at USC because of the sanctions at the end for Pete Carroll. And he was a young man when he took that job, very, very young when he took that job. He's a different dude now. He still has some of the same immaturities as you could have witnessed, certainly with the move from Ole Miss to LSU. Although, and I said this at the time, I don't know what he was supposed to do. I guess what he was supposed to do is just quit right away on his team and go to LSU instead of trying to have his cake and eat it too. Maybe that's what he was supposed to do. I don't know, but I understand certainly both sides of it. A lot of this had to do with the calendar. Now, some of the things he said this offseason, he deserves all of the flames for that. And I'm sure he tried to cover it up a little bit last week. I saw the comments from Pete Golding at Ole Miss about how, you know, he owes a lot to Lane and their relationship is good. That's not going to mean an ounce to the fans in Oxford when they go back there on September 19th. Here's the reality. At Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin went 5-5, 10-3, 8-5, 11-2, 10-3, 11-1. Now he's at LSU. It's a better job. It's got a lot more money. It's got a lot more natural resources in the state with which to pull. LSU is a lot like Ohio State. Kids in that state dream of wearing that helmet and running out at Death Valley at night. And they have a ton of talent in the state. If you can keep them there, you can go. Saban proved that, and now Kiffin's going to try and prove it too. His schedule this year, pretty daunting. Clemson to start. Obviously, Clemson's not what they used to be, but still, Clemson to start. Louisiana Tech at Ole Miss, Texas A&M, McNeese at Kentucky, Mississippi State. They've got the Egg Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry, he's at LSU now. I almost forgot it myself. Mississippi State on October 17th. Then at Auburn, Bama. Look at this stretch here. Bama, Texas at home, at Tennessee, at Arkansas. It's a brutal slate. They have the number one transfer portal class in the country coming in, including quarterback Sam Levitt. He comes in from Arizona State. They got studs on the defense that they brought in. They brought in the best tackle in the portal in Jordan Seaton, the kid who started out at Colorado. They brought in receivers from outside of the country to come outside of their program to come in. They are loaded with it. They had a total of 41 guys coming in. They had the number one class. The recruiting class was 13th from a combined 24/7. That is the second most talented influx of talent in the country. Last year they went 7-6, 3-5 in the SEC. The wheels came off for Brian Kelly in a big, big way. Lane Kiffin takes over, and for me, this is my biggest curiosity all season, guys, other than obviously Ohio State.
I think I'm there too on what's this LSU team going to look like on the field. So they bring back some of their defensive production from last year, including the guy that's dating Lane Kiffin's daughter.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Whit Weeks.
Mm-hmm. Linebacker Whit Weeks. And likely the captain of the team. One of the captains of the team. I don't know if that's ever happened before in major college football, where one of your stalwarts is dating a coach's daughter. One of your stalwart players is dating your daughter or coach's daughter.
It happened in the program and it didn't end well. Now he's the backup quarterback, but that didn't end well in the program.
So we'll see. Revamped defensive front. That's always been a stalwart of LSU defenses that have, you know, gone on to win national championships. This feels like playoffs or bust. I think it was Paul Feinbaum who might have said they've got to win the It wasn't Paul Feinbaum, but it might have been on his show with a guest saying that Lane had to win the national championship or make an appearance in the title game in year one. I'm like, well, that's a little too ambitious first. Because I do look, while the defense I think will be really good, Sam Levitt's a big question mark. How's he going to play coming off an injury in the SEC, where that team is going to be the villain every place they go, booed heavily by everyone.
Yeah.
Is there a game that doesn't involve Ohio State on the college football schedule that you are more interested in watching right now than that week 3 matchup for them against Ole Miss, going back to Ole Miss?
No, they're both going to be ranked. Ole Miss probably going to be in the top 10.
That's must-see TV.
It is, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the game where he goes returns to Tennessee, I think he's coached there one time since with Ole Miss in 2021 as a head coach. But you heard Josh Heupel last week riling up the Tennessee fans because LSU hasn't played in Tennessee since like 2001, I believe, or something like that. They haven't played much there. They haven't beaten Tennessee hasn't beaten LSU at home since like 2001.
Yeah.
So they're already getting riled up in Tennessee for that game. So you mentioned it, Reese. They're going to be the villain a lot of places they go. I feel like Lane Kiffin at LSU, there's no middle ground. I feel like this is a home run hire, or it turns out to be a disaster.
Yeah, everybody talks like they are okay with wearing the black hat. But what happens if they find themselves stumbling out of the gate? They'll probably beat Clemson, but those first two games in the SEC, if those are stumbling block games where you just find yourself now 0-2 in the conference or even 1-1,
yeah.
Well, what the hell did the $90 million get us?
Well, and the other, it's not just the $90 million for Kiffin. It's reportedly upwards of 60 on the roster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that elevated quickly from people shaming us for spending 20 in 2024, which, by the way, netted a national championship. That's baby stuff alongside of what these dudes are doing. Look at this. Now, I mean, you just pull up the 24/7 transfer portal rankings. They got the number one overall player. Now, some of that's because Sorsby's out at Texas Tech, but Levitt was the number one player in the country in the portal. Jordan Seaton was number three in the portal. They landed Princewell Umanilayan, the defensive end from Ole Miss.
Who was nine sacks last season.
Yep. He was number six in the portal. They brought him in. You just keep going down this list. They brought in, I think they ended up with four top 26 players in the portal. Yeah, Ty Benfield, the safety from Boise State, comes in. And this is the thing. I heard Kiffin talking about it. It takes time. No, it doesn't, man.
Not anymore.
No, it doesn't take time. Now, his schedule is unlike Cignetti's schedule the first couple of years at Indiana. It's not like it. It's brutal. I look at this and I go, like, if he goes 9-3 here, which I think would be, how many teams in the top 10 does he have on the schedule? Ole Miss is going to be in the top 10. A&M is going to be right around there. Bama won't be. Texas will be. So he's going to have three top 10 teams on his schedule out of the gates. I mean, that's similar to like the Ohio State level.
He even said it last week where our 9-3 is better than someone else's 11-1. Those words came out of his mouth.
No, he said it?
He said it last week.
Reese, you were with me when we were warning people that they would say that years ago.
From forever ago, and now he's actually saying, well, you know, our 9-3 will be better in the SEC than someone else's 11-1 in another conference.
He's great for that stuff. He's willing to be that. He's willing to say the awkward things. He's willing to press their interests. He's willing to be the jerk. He wants to be that. He's fine with it. He's comfortable wearing the black hat.
I think this is going to be tough in year one for Kiffin, though. Because, and I understand Cignetti did well turning around Indiana, but Cignetti brought a lot of players with him. He only four guys from Ole Miss followed Lane Kiffin to LSU.
Yep.
So it's not like he's bringing a bunch of people over. So they lost a bunch. So they don't have a great base to build off. And then he's bringing in all these players from all around the country. And I don't think that usually works well in year one. Now, this LSU team wasn't great last year. They were just 7-6. So will they be better than last year? Maybe. That's possible. But I don't think this is a playoff team.
Oof. It doesn't look like it to me either. I think they're going to be right on the bubble for it. You know, Sam Levitt at Arizona State, now he had that great run in the postseason 2 years ago, and that's what people remember. He's at Arizona State, he was never more than a 61% passer completions. So one thing you can say, and you can't debate about Kiffin, is he elevates quarterbacks. So Levitt, with a whole offseason around Kiffin, throwing to some of the talent that they have, and they've got a lot of it, that allows for, I think, the optimism. But to your point, this is starting from scratch in a lot of ways. Now, they got a great roster. I mean, just pull up the R-Lads. Do you guys see, like, so they have them color-coded, like gold, purple for freshmen, gold for transfer.
It's all gold.
Did you look? Did you look at their offensive two deep?
There are four that are returning.
They got five. In the two deep, Reese, there's only five total guys who aren't transfers.
Yep.
So this is a brand new day for them. And I think the schedule's tough. But I also think, I believe in Kiffin offensively, and I think they'll be a good team. And I think this will be the, this to me is the most interesting one. Other than the Buckeyes and the teams that you're playing, like obviously we'll keep an eye on Texas, Michigan, that stuff, because those are the rivals and people that are on our schedule. In terms of teams not on our schedule, this is the team that to me, I can't wait to see how this all goes. We'll hit the categories on LSU coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear. Lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Certainly homes in Columbus under constant attack by pests like termites, ants, or mice. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property proactively and your family with Rose Pest Solutions Home Services Program. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-round protection for one flat annual fee with regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local, family-owned, trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for 165 years. Get peace of mind today. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Time to hit the categories on the Bayou Bengals. It's great. That's a good one. Death Valley at Night, pretty undefeated. That song's pretty good as well. Calling on Baton Rouge is unbelievable when they do that there. College football 26 adaptability grade. Reese, what do you have?
It's an A+.
Yeah.
Yep, I think it's an A for sure.
I mean, it's kind of the perfect storm of all of it. I mean, they're very similar to the only thing that I'm gonna withhold the A+. I'm gonna give them the A just from the standpoint of, in order to make the coaching change, the governor got involved. That means there's a lot of hands in the kitchen if the governor's involved in it. But they've got the Raising Cane's money. They've got money from boosters everywhere. They're a massive brand. You've seen it. Number one portal class, all of those things. Kiffin is going to thrive in this. The only thing that keeps us as an A+ is just, boy, there's a lot of people that have a say on what LSU ought to be, and that can make that a little bit tricky. Uniform brand grade for LSU, Reese.
I'm going to give them an A-. I like their uniforms. I've never loved them, but Death Valley at Night, the actual tiger on campus, they won a national championship with the most Cajun man on the planet as the head coach.
They did, yeah. Like,
the whole thing is great.
Is he back?
Yes, so he's an assistant, I think like a recruiting assistant with Lane. So I think that's Lane perfect. Has just said, all right, Ed, you're going into homes in Louisiana. Recruit kids.
That's perfect.
Recruit those Cajuns. And he's like, oh, sure can, Lane. It all fits.
I think this is an A+. I think the uniform works. I think Death Valley at Night, that's one thing I have to do before I die is do a game. Death Valley. I'd love it if it's Ohio State at some point. I hope we can get that scheduled, but I think everything about it's an A+.
Yeah, I think the only I'm gonna just go a little bit below the A+. I'm gonna go a very, very strong A. I think the uniforms are incredible. I think Death Valley's incredible. I think the color scheme is great. It's unique. It's absolutely known. I think all of those. I like the fact that they.
It's odd because I do like their purple over yellow, but I love the fact that they only wear the white over yellow unless they're playing a non-conference team. I do love that. When they were an alternate uniform, I think they knocked those out of the park. The only thing that keeps it from being an A-plus is, like, right now they're pretty damn hateable. Like, who outside of Louisiana is rooting for these guys? They got, I'm talking in multiple sports. They got Mulkey. They got Mulkey coaching basketball. They got Will Wade coaching men's basketball. And they've got Kiffin.
This has to be a great beat to be on right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And they don't have Livy Dunn anymore. So maybe they take a little bit of a hit there. Historical player you'd pick for this LSU team, Reese?
He's on my Mount Rushmore of college football players. It's the Honey Badger.
Be great.
I mean, there wasn't a better all-purpose weapon. Maybe Ted Ginn.
He was great.
Ever? Travis Hunter.
So, Bo, I like how you emphasized this when you said that, because I think most of the time it's the quarterback and you're going to say Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think LSU has Sam Leavitt, and I think he's serviceable enough at quarterback. I think they have a lot of other holes on this team. And also, what's the best way to help a quarterback? I think it's give him an elite weapon. So you choose. You want Ja'Marr Chase or you want Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, I got to choose one.
But I'll take either of them on this team.
You could take Odell Beckham Jr. too if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't like Odell.
There's a lot you could pick from. Yeah, Burrow is the natural, but I'm kind of with you. Like, they're pretty good there. I loved your Honey Badger pick, I think, and they've had some great defensive players through the years. But I initially, in my head, I went Ja'Marr. I went Ja'Marr Chase, and you put Ja'Marr Chase on this team with the rest of this talent, and I think Leavitt would be fine getting him the ball. That's a big-time weapon for them to be able to have there. So, I think there's a lot to choose from with LSU, obviously. Would they get an official visit from Vince Howard, fictional quarterback from Friday Night Lights?
Lane Kiffin would be in his DMs as a sophomore.
He would be.
Yes. A-plus on this.
How many... Where are you at this with this, Bake?
I think it's an A+. I think Ed Orgeron would threaten to grab his brother by the nuts. And
yeah, in this so. Age of college football, like this LSU,
it's happening.
Yeah.
So Vince is going to, I mean, like, how many official visits do you get nowadays? Because we've sent him to a lot of places. Like, how many did you guys send him to last week? We sent him to Texas.
Almost none last week.
Okay, good. We sent him to SMU. We haven't done A&M yet, have we?
I think we sent him to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame and Miami he went to.
He went to both of those?
But the Miami one was an all-expenses-paid trip to South Beach.
What are official visits so, right, anyway what's nowadays? Even that? Who cares? Just go wherever you want.
I think Marcus would get him on campus.
Yeah, if he wanted him, I think he would too. And I think Vince's character would fit with Marcus pretty good. Yeah, I think he probably would. I think he would enjoy a Saturday night in Death Valley. I think that would probably happen. Coach grade for Lane Kiffin. Reese?
Well, as a coach, he's a solid B+. As a person, he's a C-, because he's just the snakiest human, and he fits LSU so well. He hasn't done it. Like, the Ole Miss was, I give him credit for getting Ole Miss into the playoff, getting Ole Miss, but then he became the Lane Kiffin we all remember, so I can't give him an A yet.
So, Bo, I don't love Lane Kiffin as a coach like you do.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Lane Kiffin is the Baker Mayfield of coaches, where if you doubt him and you make him an underdog, he's going to show you because he's got that chip on his shoulder. But when there's expectations there, he might underperform a little bit. So I think there's expectations on Lane now, and I don't think that's... I'm going to give the coach grade a B here. I think he's... I think he's going to regret leaving Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm higher on
him. I don't think
he'll
regret that.
I think he's doing okay, yeah. I think... now, he built something very special at Ole Miss, and I think very sustainable, but I also get it lifestyle-wise. Like, there's a massive difference between Oxford, Mississippi, and being in Baton Rouge. A very, very different town. So, I'm going to give you... I think he's an A- as a coach. The last time he got a job like this, he was 35 years old at USC. That was 16 years ago, man. Like, a lot's changed. I think what he did at Ole Miss was sustainable, and I think he'll bring a lot of that to LSU, and I think he'll be just fine. The sliding door moment here, there's a massive one, obviously, that would have changed the entire trajectory of college football.
Were you thinking of Saban?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first one. I'm going to go with when they fired Les Miles back in 2016 and Ed Orgeron was promoted to interim because they had a ton of talent, but I don't know if Les had the locker room. And then Coach O comes in and it takes him a minute, but that hiring of Joe Brady, like how many other programs like with would Ohio State do something like that to where your defensive line coach becomes your interim?
Yeah, and it worked.
I think the sliding door moment is the hiring of Saban because they were always a good program and they had won national championship in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But once Saban got here, the bar was raised. And every coach since him, minus Brian Kelly, has won a national championship. So I think it was Saban coming in there. He kind of elevated everything and maybe taught them how to dog a little bit.
Yeah, I think both of those are critical moments in terms of making the right decisions at the right time. For sliding doors, to me, it's Saban going to Miami. Like, if Nick never goes to Miami, if he knows they're not going to sign Breeze and he just stays at LSU, isn't all the success that he has at Alabama at LSU? Doesn't he win Yes. 7 national titles at LSU? I think so. I mean, he was already headed there, and that just would have continued on had that happened. Win it all, make a playoff, or too soon, or flame out for LSU?
The money says win it all. I think the roster and the job Lane's done with preparing this team, I think they'll make the playoff.
I think it's too soon with Kiffin. I don't think they make the playoff.
I think he better make the playoff. Because the investment's been there, and I think the roster's good enough that they should make the playoff. We'll see if it should be too soon. We'll ask Matt Moscano about that. He joins us. He's at After Further Review in 104.5 ESPN in Baton Rouge. He joins us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get some perspective on one of the 20 most interesting, quite frankly, other than the team that we talk about every day, the most interesting team in the country this year. They are the LSU Tigers. For perspective, we head on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He's Matt Moscona. After Further Review, 104.5 ESPN in Baton Rouge and Locked On LSU. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time. So how's it going with Lane?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's, I mean, from a content creator standpoint, I'm going to get Lane Kiffin every day. I could talk about what Lane Kiffin eats for breakfast and it would do numbers. It's incredible, man. Even when he's off of social media and presumably boring, he's still interesting.
Buddy, I'm so jealous. You've got those three coaches at women's basketball, men's basketball, and Kiffin. It's just a content factory covering that program.
I would say LSU is never boring. South Louisiana is an idiosyncratic place. Even different than the rest of the South. But we take sports and LSU culture very seriously, maybe sometimes too seriously, but it's a huge economic engine that drives the state. And as a result, it's something everybody latches onto and takes very seriously. And so you'll justify paying Lane Kiffin and hiring Will Wade back after he was fired for cause and paying the women's basketball coach $3 million a year. Yes, Lane Kiffin says it's just different, and it is.
Sounds a little familiar to what we deal with up here on a regular basis. I've always thought the two programs had a lot in common, and I think that you just illustrated that they do, my friend. All right, in terms of how this all came together and putting together this roster, you pull up the R lads, as I do on all of these things, and I see all of these yellows with transfers. We know that they went in there big in the portal. They got four of the top 25 players in the portal. They all came in headlined by Levitt. But now he's got to put this all together. What is your sense of how that has gone in terms of building a team that can contend with the schedule that's in front of him?
Well, it's not Lane's first rodeo. This is kind of the way he does things and the way he built it at Ole Miss as well. I mean, he was sort of the self-proclaimed portal king. And I don't know that there's necessarily one right way to do it in this era, but you know, massive turnover and building in the portal is how Lane has done it. So you're right in talking about Levitt and Seton and Prince William on Miela. And I mean, he went, but those are the top three guys at their respective positions in this portal cycle. And so I think they certainly went big game hunting there with those top tier players. But he also built a lot of depth. And I could rattle off a bunch of names that nobody's going to know, but they were very intentional about building the line of scrimmage and receiver and the defensive backfield with guys who knew they weren't coming here to start this year, but had major college experience. And I think that's how they were very intentional about building depth on this roster. So it's a challenge, I think, Bo, that every college coach has today. I mean, you can go get your top tier guys, but you recruit out of the high school ranks. How do you get those guys to stay and build depth? Well, the way Lane has sort of chosen to do it is build that depth to the portal as well.
So it's one thing to do it in year one, and I know you can't get into a crystal ball, but what you have to do at Ole Miss is not what you have to do at LSU. Those two situations are not similar in terms of what you can do from a roster building standpoint. How do you think he will build it? Will it be more the Kirby, Ryan Day kind of, you know, a little bit of portal tweaking, but still pretty good in recruiting? How do you think he wants to build the program long term, not necessarily for this year, where he had to do it this way?
I think it's, well, you know, Bo, I don't think he had to do it this way.
Okay.
He inherited a situation from Brian Kelly where the roster wasn't fair. Lane just came and looked at a roster that didn't really fit what he wanted to do. I mean, they retained one scholarship receiver and three offensive linemen, and it wasn't like all those guys just wanted to leave. His staff came and evaluated and said, we don't like what you have, and so they built it the way they wanted. Now, I think what Lane is going to do is try his best to utilize the dirt, right? People in Ohio understand this. Like, the greatest advantage in Ohio is you're the only power. I say this all the time to my audience here. Louisiana and Ohio are the only two talent-rich states with one Power Five. There is no in-state competition. So Lane is going to try to get the best players in Louisiana to stay home, but I don't think you're going to see him build high school classes with 25 and 30 signees. I think you're going to see more like 15 to 20 range, and the majority of the roster is still going to come through the portal.
So that's exactly what they're doing up here. So that we're in lockstep, I think, on roster building and all of these things. Okay, this will come down to Leavitt a lot, right? He was really good in the playoff a couple of years ago. Last year, the season a little truncated, the injuries there, and then he ends up at LSU. What have you heard? What have you seen? What was spring like with him? What does he look like in that purple and gold?
Yeah, so this is kind of wild. Lane gave us a ton of access in spring. Like, we got to watch literally full practices. I mean, scrimmages in Tiger Stadium, 200 plays, the whole deal. And Sam Leavitt was not really a participant. So he's coming off the Lisfranc injury. And so he stood around in tennis shoes and a helmet a lot. Now, I agree that whatever LSU achieves this year, like whatever its ceiling is, if it's playoff or whatever, they're only going to get there if Leavitt is healthy and looks like the dude that brought Arizona State to the playoff 2 years ago. Because we got to see a lot of the other two guys. And those are two talented young guys, man. Husan Longstreet was a five-star at Southern Cal. Landon Clark comes in from Elon. I mean, just think this is their shot, their wild card at another Trinidad Chambliss. Probably not going to happen, but a talented young guy. But we got to watch those dudes in spring, and they're very talented, but they're nowhere near ready to compete for a championship, which is going to be the expectation on this team given all the roster investment. So we haven't seen Sam Leavitt yet, but whatever this team is going to be, if it reaches its potential, it's got to be with a healthy Sam Leavitt.
So it's interesting, man. I heard some of Kiffin's comments. It could have been from the spring where he talked about, look, this is going to take a little bit of time. Well, it really can't, can it? I mean, we saw Cignetti do this in 2 years at Indiana. You talked about the investment in the roster. Not that they're going to run him. I mean, obviously. But, I mean, it can't take too long. I look at this schedule. I see, obviously, a very challenging schedule. From your perspective, what is the minimum requirement? And I guess from your perspective as a host down there, what standard will you hold them to?
They got to make the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, athletic director Virg Ausberry, when he was hired, said point blank, it was before Kiffin was hired, but he said, the expectation at LSU is you make the playoff every year. And when you go and make the investment you did in Lane, and then the other thing that's understated, Bo, people don't talk enough about, because people talk about the roster budget, which is true. Listen, my information is that they went budgeted $25 million for this roster. They're going to double that number.
Yeah.
Because nobody told Lane no. Every time another player came in the portal they wanted, they went and got him. They made it happen. And then also the staff. I mean, they're paying Charlie Weiss $2.5 million. They're paying $3 million a year to retain Blake Baker. I mean, they brought back Ed Ogeron. I mean, they fired Ed Ogeron. They brought him back. Like,
so great.
Nobody is telling Lane no. Okay, well, with that comes enormous expectations. I don't think anyone is going to hold to winning a national championship year one, but the expectation is with all the investment they've given him, everything he wants, you should be in a 12-team playoff. So, you know, I think Lane, and you're right about him sort of trying to pump the brakes early. I think Lane looks at it and realizes, listen, over a 5-year sample, if we're able to, you know, jump in the DeLorean, crank it up to 88 and go to the year 2030, the next 5 seasons, Lane will have more success at LSU than Pete Golding will at Ole Miss. I don't think that's like some outlandish statement. It's just the two programs have different sets of resources and are built differently.
Yep.
But I think he also looks and realizes with Chambliss and Lacey there and Oxford this year, this could be the one year where, like, Ole Miss may still have the upper hand. And so maybe he's just building in a little bit of a cushion with that expectation.
Talking to the great Matt Moscona after further review, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge, Locked On LSU. Matt, SEC Media Days last week. Big Ten Media Days start here in 5 minutes. Commissioner Tony Petitti going to address the media for 45 minutes over in Chicago. Everybody wants to hear what he has to say. Obviously, a lot of news came out of SEC Media Days last week. What did you make of this, hey, maybe we will secede type of thing? I heard it from Kirby, obviously from Sankey. What did you kind of make of the SEC's messaging last week?
Well, so I was in the room for it, and I think the headline about Greg Sankey saying the conversations are real probably got a little misconstrued. He was asked the question, how real is that talk? And he said it's real to the extent that the conversations have happened. And you're right. It's Georgia. It's Kirby. It's their brass. It's sort of beating the drum. Sankey did say he'd prefer those conversations, say, you know, behind closed doors or on a Zoom call. But that they're largely rooted in frustration. But, Bo, I don't know how you feel about it. I think there is an inevitability in college football where we will see the day where college football, seeds from the NCAA,
yeah,
and it just exists as college football. And it'll be an invite only or a buy-in type deal, and it'll be the top 40, 50 programs. And I think that will be a phenomenal product to see one day. I think it will happen in my lifetime. I don't know that it's going to happen this year in 5 years or 10 years, but I think it is an inevitability at this point. But I also understand from Greg Sankey's perspective, from Tony Petitti's perspective, you spent a century building these great college football brands and leveraging all of that brand equity to build the conference to be the powers that they are. You don't want to share that with the Big 12 and the ACC and the Pac-12. And so you're going to go to great lengths to protect the brand equity you've built. So maybe it's a little bit of saber rattling right now, but I do understand the perspective of those commissioners and a lot of the conference leadership.
Well said, buddy. Appreciate you bigly. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today.
Anytime. Enjoy the season.
All right, you too, man. That's Matt Moscona. After further review on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge and Locked On LSU. Get you 3 things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends are here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
I didn't grow up a Cavs fan. I'd go gonorrhea back in the day.
Gonorrhea. That's like a STD.
Gun-arena.
Mornings on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
right, race one of the poll today.
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, what's the bigger concern for the Bengals this upcoming season? Your options are the defense or Joe Burrow's health. 65% of respondents say Joe Burrow's health.
Yeah, that's fair. And then we did one as well.
Yeah, we had asked earlier, would an Ohio State football national title mean as much about SEC participation in the CFP? 65% of respondents to that poll say no.
I agree with the 65%.
Same.
And I think they, if you posed it to them, the numbers would probably be flipped. But I think deep down, if you were to hook them up to True Serum, they would agree as well. That it, to crown a national champion, you better have Ohio State and LSU and Alabama and Michigan and Penn State and USC and Oregon and Texas A&M. Like, those teams got to be there. And the only, I really enjoyed talking to Matt Muscana from, and if you missed that, you can get it. I know we put it out on the social, talking about LSU, but that last answer about, you know, where we're going, super conferences, all of that. I do think we will see it. I don't know if we're going to see a true super conference, but I do think that you will see a breakaway of, is it 60 teams? And then the other thing that's going to be really interesting of that is if you're Ohio State, do you look in your own league and say, yeah, we don't want to invite all these people in this thing? Or do you bling them along and say, hey, if we're only going to play from this pool, we got to have somebody we can beat up on? I mean, that's kind of the questions that are going to have to be answered, and who from the ACC and the Big 12 are going to be invited to the dance. It's going to be a fascinating time, to say the least. Tony Petitti at the podium here in the last 4 minutes, so we'll have a lot of that to react to tomorrow. Let's go ahead and do a little three things, boys.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So they're holding Big Ten Media Days at the Hilton downtown Chicago. This is, I'm pretty sure this is still the same place. I've been there a couple of times for Big Ten Media Days. This is the type of place that you walk into and you go, oh, Capone was here. That's the feel. That's the feel you have walking into this place. You can get lost in it. It's not the tallest hotel, but I think it has as many hotels, rooms, as anything outside of Vegas, just because it's just a round and round you go. But it's perfectly set up. It sets the tone for what Big Ten Media Days ought to be. There should be a gangster kind of feel to it. I hope Petitti takes that tone. I'm not optimistic that he will, but it's the perfect setting for that if he wants to.
Is it also, so I'm seeing images from this, and they've got the last three college football playoff national championships on the stage with the Big Ten Conference Commissioner.
Yeah.
So you could probably spend half an hour listing some of the accolades that the conference has done from a national standpoint. I'm just looking here. Lollapalooza starts this week.
Okay.
And is it right across the street from the hotel?
That I can't tell you. I don't know.
Grant Park. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be right there. It's right by the Field Museum. Yep. It's right in all of that area. It's very, very close. Yeah. I mean, it's got 15, it's got almost 1,600 rooms. The Chicago Hilton does.
Yeah. The Smashing Pumpkins are the headliner Friday. Lord, the headliner Thursday. Tate McRae headlining Sunday.
Huh?
Yeah, oh, boy. That'd be bonkers in that area, though, if you think about it. You've got the 18 teams from the Big Ten, all the media members that cover it. Probably half of that's the Ohio State beat. And then Lollapalooza across the street.
Good yeah. luck keeping Adam King and Nicole Sheeran paid attention and locked in this week with all of that happening. First thing for me, I finally bit the bullet. It was time. We got the new HVAC system put in the condo yesterday. I had been duct tape and bubble gum and the air conditioner together for a while. And then at the end of the winter, I was doing everything I can to keep the heat going. But 23 years, not me being there the whole time of the condo, but 23 years that system had kept that condo cool and warm. Now I don't have to worry about trying to MacGyver things anymore. And it was nice and cool in the homestead sleeping last night.
My dad's house doesn't have AC. My God. When it was 98, even in the basement, it was like 82. I'm like, Dad, how do you live?
You probably can't find enough fans.
No, there's no way. There's no chance. Number two for me. So, yeah, just to piggyback, the Chicago Hilton's been was opened in 1927. So pretty sure that lines up with Capone quite well. This from the legendary Ohio State Sports Information Director, Jerry Emig, who texted me. That hotel reeks in a good way of Big Ten Media Days. Love it. Yeah, there's a feeling to it, man. It feels like Big Ten Media Days. It's awesome. Awesome old hotel.
We'll have more from the conference commissioner tomorrow, but he says an amended college sports protect An amended Protect College Sports Act bill could be sent to Big Ten leadership as soon as this afternoon. But TD adds, quote, we cannot change our position until we see an amended bill.
Oh, God.
We just need to stop trying. Like, let's just be done with this.
They're not saving you, Tone.
Guardrails.
Second thing for me, all of this jersey patch talk today has got me thinking. Hey, we're on the YouTube now.
Mm-hmm.
Sales staff, let's sell some Bishop and Friends jersey patches. I mean, that would be nice. I think there's some...
I'd wear a t-shirt or a
sweatshirt.
I think
there is some logical choices out there. I mean, High Bank would be number one, I would think, in our book. But let's work on that. Some jersey patches. And if not, there we can't do that. At least go buy our t-shirts. Our t-shirts are out there at BreakingT.com. You can find the Bishop and Friends t-shirt there. Grab you one. I think we gave one away last week. So
there you go.
Do your part that way.
Yeah, I would say, like, if we, and we could do like the college sports model, and we could have an athleisure company supply us as well. So, like, let's not stop there. Let's really get interested in all. Let's really get in on all of this stuff. Finally, number three for me, I'm not a big dessert guy, but they did it in Montana. There are two places we went last week that had this. Huckleberries are native to Montana. They're a spectacular kind of dessert fruit. They do them on everything in Montana. It's got a great flavor to it. Huckleberry creme brulee, that wins. That's a winner. So if you get out west and you see that, gobble it up, kids. They know what they're doing with that one.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Fret not. The Big Ten is not going to be doing a co-branded jersey patch. Like the Big 12's got theirs co-branded with Monster. Petiti says, no, we're just going to let the teams deal with it. Because the BYU one I'm seeing with Entrada on the patch above the swoosh. And then on the other side, so the right side of the body is going to have Big 12. But like, how do you incorporate Monster Energy into that logo? It'll look ugly.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice have you covered for your afternoon. I'm sure they'll have live updates as we go along from Big Ten Media Days. They'll also talk to Tyvis Powell at 1:30, and his flight got delayed yesterday, so they couldn't talk to Ian Fitzsimmons, so they will talk to him today at 2:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.